Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ah, 3 o'clock crowd. By the way, Dos Hombres is brought to you by, What's Up Fools, brought to you by Dos Hombres Moscow. Gives you the more, just the right more for those everyday moments with great friends that call for more. First week of the NFL schedule is out. Let me see what the highlight. Rams open at Seattle. This is
winnable game.
Winnable but, game, first weekend.
But maybe not this year. You don't want them to win.
No. Let's see.
You either want them to win every game or lose every game, right?
Correct. I don't want them to be in the in-between.
Okay.
Lions at Chiefs is the Thursday night football opener for the season. Some of the other interesting games from that weekend, Bengals-Browns, Niners-Steelers, Texans. Raiders are at the Broncos for week one. Which is always an interesting game. Packers-Bears. The Sunday Night Football game is Cowboys versus Giants, and the Monday Night Football game is Bills versus Jets.
I'll watch all of them. I'll watch any NFL game for
Me
no
too.
Reason.
All of them. All of them. And the other nugget we have on, because a lot of Rams fans listen to the station, September the 24th, Rams are at Cincinnati. That's a Monday Night Football game. Week 5, they're playing the Eagles. And that game is at SoFi.
Ooh, that's going to be a Eagle fans travel, and a lot of them live here. You're going to be able to sell your tickets for that game and pay for the rest of the season.
I do not sell my tickets, Ireland.
This year you're going
to. Do not sell them.
This year you.
Want to be there.
This year you're. Why would you want to
be
there?
Part of the magic.
The magic losing?
The shrimp in the dining
club. The food
club
at SoFi is terrible.
No, not where I am.
You're going to sell some tickets.
No, absolutely not.
And I won't blame you for it because you're going to pay for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's true.
Sucker those Philadelphia fans.
Sell the Eagles tickets, exactly. Yeah. All right, so Stephen A. Smith, everybody saw last night what happened. Fourth quarter, Anthony Davis, forearm to the head from Kevon Looney. And
came out woozy.
Came out woozy. They apparently pulled up a wheelchair for him and wheeled him back to the locker room. And many, many people have now been making jokes about this. Stephen A. earlier this morning on First Take said this about AD and that moment last night.
Concussion? Concussion? I thought the NFL season was over. You understand? Now, I understand that concussions can happen in other sports, boxing, UFC. And I mean, if the collision is fierce enough, I guess it could happen in basketball, too. But damn, I ain't seen nothing yesterday that made me say concussion. Concussion? Now, I don't know if it's true or not. Did the wheelchair get him to the locker room? I'm not sure. Is that true,
yes,
Jay?
Yes, that's why they were dying.
A wheelchair? Really? Really? That's where we are? Listen, if you are LeBron James, this has got to be. Listen, I hope Anthony Davis. I got to actually sit here and say this. I hope Anthony Davis is okay.
Well, I would think that would be the lead. I hope Anthony Davis is okay.
He went on for a while with the same theme. Well,
yes.
The reaction to that was swift.
Yes.
He got hammered.
Same way Barkley and Shaq got hammered last night.
So at right before we went in the air, Stephen A. issued this tweet. Blowback is blowback. Comes with the territory, peeps. I was in no way minimizing the seriousness of a concussion. Let me stop there before I keep reading. You were absolutely minimizing the seriousness of a concussion. Play the first 10 seconds.
There.
Concussion? Concussion? I thought the NFL season was over. You understand? No, I understand.
That is the definition of minimizing the seriousness of a concussion. Stephen A. Ghost continues. I was questioning whether Anthony Davis really had one, considering the play I saw and other hits I've seen him absorb. But bottom line, I was wrong. It was wrong for me to do. Period. My bad. How's that for an apology?
Pretty good.
It's okay.
It's all it requires.
Yeah.
I don't think it requires.
By the way, Mike Trudell just put out that Darvin Ham on Anthony Davis. He's doing great. He's not in the protocol. He'll be listed as probable tomorrow.
Okay, there you go. following up on all the information we have that Anthony Davis is going to play tomorrow night.
And by the way, the Lakers never said he had a concussion. That was just speculation.
Yeah, that was speculation. And he never did reportedly have a concussion. Dave McMenamin reported earlier would play. Mike Trudell, Darvin Ham now saying he will play. He will be there tomorrow night. So part of what went on here is that it's as Ramona taught me long ago, confirmation bias. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the TNT guys have called AD street clothes, and he's been his toughness has been questioned over the years, and is he soft and all that stuff. So the confirmation bias comes in when he takes a wheelchair to the locker room. All of a sudden, that is confirming what everybody has believed or some people have believed about AD from the start. It's an unfortunate look. I'm sure it was necessary. I'm sure he was woozy. There is no shame in using a wheelchair in that particular instance. But I think that the mocking of AD by Charles, by Shaq, by Stephen A. is completely out of line. And it sounds like Stephen A. now recognizes that.
Right. So the other guy who has apologized today is Mark Jackson.
Okay.
Mark Jackson had an MVP vote, and here's how he voted. Joel Embiid 1.
Yep.
Giannis 2.
Okay.
Jason Tatum 3.
Right.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 4.
Sounds right.
Donovan Mitchell 5.
Not a terrible ballot. Oh.
Someone's missing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Somebody is missing.
Who?
Did he say Embiid?
He voted Embiid number 1. Who did most people have number 2?
Giannis?
No.
Oh, come on, man.
He won the two previous MVPs, so you didn't see it either. Jokic,
yeah.
So he...
He left him completely off
Off his ballot and is being hammered. He's being called a racist. He's being called...
No!
Oh, Google it.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But, I mean, and he basically... Mark Jackson has come out and said, I have no excuse. I just screwed it up. Now, every time somebody does this, I think that if they completely leave off somebody like Jokic.
And it has happened. There was an incident last year where it happened where it was a weird ballot.
Yeah. I think you should lose your vote.
What
do you think? Yeah. Leave Nikola Jokic completely off your MVP ballot. I think you should lose your vote. You agree or disagree?
Well, what if he just screwed it up?
He did just screw it up. But that means that somebody that might have an agenda? I mean, that has to be personal, right?
Or he just screwed it up.
Right.
I mean, I take him at his word. He screwed it up. You get a ballot. You fill it out really fast. It's sort of like the coaches poll in college football where the AD or somebody, the assistant AD, winds up filling stuff out, screws it up. I mean, I don't think he should lose his ballot.
Greg, what do you think?
No, I don't think he should lose his ballot.
So it's okay to completely leave. What if left Embiid off?
It still would have been, no, he shouldn't lose his ballot. It's just like anything else with like Hall of Fame voting. People leave people off all the time. It's his vote. It's what he wanted. That's what he chose. And I'm surprised that you feel this way, John. You don't like any of this cancel culture type stuff.
No, I'm not canceling anything. I'm just telling
him don't. You're canceling Mark Jackson's vote.
Yeah, just tell him not to vote. I mean, voting, he doesn't get paid for it. I'm not taking any money out of his pocket.
No, but you're
I'm just saying that this is somebody that doesn't take the voting seriously. So you just say, okay, give his vote to somebody else.
He did. Maybe he sincerely thinks that that Jokic shouldn't be on
but
the top
he, no, he's come said, out. He has come out and said that wasn't it. He said, "I just." He goes, "I have no excuses. I screwed it up."
Yeah,
no,
I know. I'm more forgiving of this. I would not take his vote away.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Your vote gone out.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's necessary to take the guy's vote. He's acknowledged he screwed it up. I mean, God knows, I screw up stuff all the time.
Yeah, I would take away your vote.
Yeah.
If you vote for the Mandys and you don't recognize this show, I think I should take away your vote.
Oh, well,
that's different.
I agree. If you don't vote for this show, now you're
on my side.
I agree with.
Vote for the Mason and Ireland Show.
Show of the year. Show of the year. ESPNLA.com.
If we win, I'm giving it to Travis and Slee, and I'm throwing it at Slee.
No, do not.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just not throw trophies.
I'm throwing a trophy.
Trophy throwing
I guarantee
is over.
You better not give me one or I'm throwing it.
If it's your trophy that you win for most
knowledgeable. Nah, I'm not winning anything, but if I do by
You'll win most knowledgeable. Yeah.
But if I do, I'm throwing it at Sliwa.
I think
but so. I'm going to tell
at
him
Sliwa. Why would you throw
I'm
it at
I'm going to tell him it's coming. It's symbolic.
But
I'm
why gonna, do you I'm have just, a vendetta against Sliwa?
I don't. I want him to catch it, actually. I'm giving him the trophy.
Do you have a vendetta against Sliwa?
No, I like him.
Do you?
Yeah.
Then why are you going to throw it at him?
I'm going to toss it to him.
Oh, now he's going to not throw it at him, toss it to him.
From the, from the stage to where he'll be sitting, it might be kind of a long throw.
What if it's somebody else?
Maybe it'll be like Tom Brady when he threw the Super Bowl trophy on the boat.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be kind of hard.
You know, my goal at the Mandy's this year is to be like Billie Eilish after she won all of them. Like,
just not have enough room to carry everything.
All of the trophies at once. Wouldn't that be...
That'd be great.
It'd be fantastic.
You know, I hope I have this problem.
What, holding all the trophies?
I just realized.
Yeah.
If the Lakers make the finals, I might have to miss Mandy's.
Well, it's between games.
Why are you hoping for that?
No.
Between games.
I'm hoping the Lakers make the finals.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if they do, I might have to miss the Mandy's. They're on June 10th.
It's a Saturday.
Right. But maybe I'll be in Boston or Miami or, you know, I haven't looked at the games. Have you?
I believe that would be two home games for them.
Well, we're the road team. So, I mean, I'm sure we can look it up, but I might have to miss it.
It'd be between games 3 and 4.
Supposedly, they've already done the math on this.
Correct.
Supposedly, they've already done the math.
Okay.
So, Sliwa, look out. Duck.
No, I will tell him it's coming. I'm not going to, like, try and injure him.
Coming up next for you, it's Apology Day. SportsCenter anchor John Anderson has apologized for something that he didn't really need to apologize for.
Oh, I disagree.
All right. We will do that coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, apologies. Stephen A.
Mark Jackson.
So during the Vegas-Edmonton series in the NHL, SportsCenter anchor John Anderson said this about a guy named Zach Whitecloud.
Goal of the game, Knights 2-1. 13 minutes to go, we're in the second. Zach Whitecloud. Kind of name is White Cloud. Great name if you're a toilet paper. His first goal of the playoffs as well as 3-1. First goal by any nice defenseman here in the postseason.
So White Cloud is the first indigenous NHL player from the Sioux Valley Dakota Nation.
Right, and he didn't like it. And so
I would imagine Native Americans did not like it, just generally speaking. First
right.
indigenous NHL player. He has apologized.
Yeah, Anderson apologized to White Cloud, and then I think he did it also publicly. But what's interesting there is I think if he would have said – play what Anderson said again.
Okay. Goal of the game, Knights 2-1. 13 minutes to go, we're in the second. Zach White Cloud. Kind of name is White Cloud. Great name if you're a toilet paper. His first goal of the playoffs.
So if he would have said it just with a different tone and said, Zach White Cloud, man – that guy should get a toilet paper endorsement. Isn't it a different comment? Or is it the same problem?
It's probably the same problem.
It just, what kind of name is White Cloud is mocking it.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
But if he would have said White Cloud, boy, that'd be a great name if you're selling toilet paper and
yeah.
get that guy an endorsement.
So
maybe it would have been different.
So this is one of those things. First of all, I think it's harmless to apologize. I apologize for anything I said today that might have offended anybody. Just a blanket apology.
Just don't say if I offended anybody, because then it's not a real apology.
No, when I offended you, I apologize. But, I mean, I'm assuming that John Anderson had no idea that Zach Whitecloud was a representative of the Sioux Valley Dakota Nation when he made that particular joke.
Although it doesn't kind of, isn't that obvious?
No, not necessarily. I mean, if you're, John, you've said, I mean, I've done weekend sports highlights. You've done weekend sports highlights. You see names fly by in the prompter and you don't even think about it. Then you wing something and the winging gets out of control.
Yeah, but White Cloud sound like, back when I was in Indian Guides, that was one of the names of like,
Indian
that we would
guides.
Take.
Talk about something that's out of date now.
Do they don't have them anymore, huh?
I don't think so. No.
I think they don't have, like, I think in my neighborhood they had Indian princesses where the girls all have a tribe, but is, maybe they don't. Is it, did, has it all become too offensive?
I've got a, well, I mean.
Do yeah. Indian, Jorge, what do you think? Do Indian guides still exist?
I've never even seen one.
When I was a kid.
It's the former name of what are now called adventure guides.
Okay. So they cleaned it up.
Yes.
By the way, do you think teams with Indian nicknames are around 20 years from now? Are the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Braves and the Florida State Seminoles and the already Cleveland has punted and moved on.
Cleveland changed their name, right?
Washington Redskins have punted and moved on. Do the other ones follow suit or just keep doing what they're doing?
I don't know. I've not heard any.
So we've got the Chicago Blackhawks. We got the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got the Atlanta Braves. I don't think we have an NBA name with a Indian mascot name, do we?
I don't think so, no.
No. Warriors is probably the closest thing to it.
But that's just.
I think Warriors is more like a.
A warrior.
Yeah, like a fighter.
A fighter.
Like a soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, are there big movements? I've not heard anything about this issue for a while. There are big movements on this?
Oh, yeah. Florida State has a guy ride, has an Indian ride out on a horse and throw a spear into the middle of the field.
But I thought they had made some sort of agreement with the Seminole Nation.
Well, now you sound like Dan Gilbert. Like Dan Gilbert used to say, I've met with all the tribes and we have agreements.
No, I mean the actual Seminole, like the leader of the Seminole Nation.
Yeah, but
the Seminole tribe stands behind Florida State.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like Stanford, this happened so long ago, most people don't know it. Stanford used to be called the Indians.
Yeah.
They changed their name to Cardinal.
Cardinal.
Not with an S, but the color. And that was the birth of the tree.
The tree.
Because they wanted a mascot that wouldn't be offensive, so the students came up with the tree.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you are just tuning in, I want to make sure, you know, game five last night did not go the right way, did not go the way we hoped it would go. I forget. I know I wagered on the Lakers last night.
Yeah, you lost money.
I got 8.5, I think.
You got seven and a half. You had Lakers plus 7.5. You bet $30,000, so you're now at $207,000. Jorge bet a lot of money. He bet $60,000. Warriors minus 7.5. He is now at $606,000.
Yeah, this is a impressive performance. But he's the only one of the four of us who will bet against the LA teams.
You bet against the LA teams. You're like Anita Marks. She picks against the LA teams. You bet against the LA teams. As I've seen on social media, fake Angelino, people call you.
I bet with mythical money, not with my heart.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you win. Hey, did you put the Vince Carter stuff in?
Yeah.
Okay, so Vince Carter is working for ESPN during these playoffs. He's on all the time. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing a bunch of podcasts lately, and he was doing one the other day, and he told a story about when he owned a nightclub. So I'm going to play this story, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Go ahead and hit it.
I've had some conversations with Prince. One day we're sitting in the office and one of our security guys at the front door is like, Prince wants to come into the club. He wants one of the VIP areas, but he wants the light dimmed down. So I was like, oh, okay. All right. He was in his bell bottoms and his, you know, like Prince, like he was Prince. I had to ask him like, okay, so why are you here? What makes you want to come to Inside Nightclub in Toronto? He said that he heard about our club and he had to see it for himself. This one girl finds out she is trying her best to rip the bamboo sticks apart, but you can't just break bamboo. Like that's why you had it there. Prince is just sitting there like, yeah, man, this is a great place you have here. Our security finally, after like 5-10 minutes of her trying to rip it up, they pick her up and they're escorting her out and she passes out. Prince, I love you. I was like, you're the greatest. I love you. Oh my God. And boom, just like she's out, passed out. I was just like, whoa. And he never flinched. Never flinched.
All right, so here's my question. Mm-hmm. Who's the most famous person you've ever seen in person?
In person.
So I remember you told me you introduced Ronald Reagan when he was president.
President Ronald Reagan is right at the top of the list. I mean, he was in the middle of his presidency, and I met him when I was a sophomore at Bowling Green.
So I met President Obama on the two Laker championship ring trips in 9 and 10. But Greg, who's the most famous person you've ever met in person?
LeBron.
Jorge, how about you?
Kobe and Paul McCartney.
How'd you meet Paul McCartney?
At the Four Seasons. I used to work for TV, so we were doing a movie special. You know, one of those interviews with, like, the main star?
Yeah, right.
Like those Q&As.
Junket. Yeah.
Yeah. We were doing one of those, and I was a camera guy. So as soon as I'm walking into the Four Seasons, he's walking out of it. A couple stops and says, "Hey, Sir McCartney or Sir Paul or whatever they call
Did
him.
Did you say Sir Paul?
No, no, no. The couple in front of me. And then he stopped, and he says, "Oh, hey, nice to meet you. No pictures, though. No pictures." And then we just, I said, "Hey, nice to meet you as well." And we just walked in. But he's talked to us for like 2 minutes.
Well, you know, Kim was at the game the other night, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And she was in the press room.
She is
room.
Just striking, by
she,
the way.
She was in the press room with Chris was there, and then one of the Jenners was there. I don't remember
either
which one.
Either Kylie or Kendall.
Kyler or Kendall, yeah.
Probably Kendall.
Those are like global famous people.
Right.
LeBron, Kobe, we've interviewed. I mean, people like that, because of what we do. In terms of out of the, you know, my goal is to someday meet the Pope. I would like to meet the Pope.
Or you just go to the Vatican.
No, you can't just walk up to the Vatican. You need to.
Well, you'd be out in the courtyard.
You need an appointment.
You can yell up.
You need an
appointment. Hey, Pope.
Hey, Pope.
Hey, Pope.
Yeah. Hey, Pope.
Or if you're Cappy, you just say, hey, King.
Hey, King. Hey, King. I would say Reagan was probably, in terms of just like magnitude, he was probably the biggest one.
I met Steven Spielberg once outside a dive restaurant.
I remember.
Hey, love your restaurant.
Yeah.
Greatest filmmaker of our generation. I told him I liked his lousy submarine restaurant.
Yes.
That Prince story, though, that he told reminded me of the Carlos Boozer Prince story. Do you remember that story?
No.
I've told it before, but I haven't told it in a while.
We heard the story before. I don't
but he doesn't remember Pepe.
I don't even remember this story.
Boy, Kelvin Washington just texted me. He met Pope Francis, Beyonce, and Jerry Seinfeld.
Wow.
Kelvin's running in some different circles than us. All right, yeah. So here's the Carlos Boozer story. Carlos Boozer played for us for a couple of years, maybe only 1 year.
Yes.
So he tells me this story that he bought this new house in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left the Lakers and went back to play for the Bulls again.
Oh.
Second stint with the Bulls.
I know the story, yeah.
Okay. Good. So he hires a real estate agent to rent his house.
Yes.
So he gets a call one day and he says, "You're not going to believe who rented your house."
Yeah.
Prince.
Mm.
Carlos Boozer says, "Wow, really?" He goes, "Yeah, well, give me his number. I'll call him." And so they start texting and he says, "Hey, man, thanks for letting me rent your house. You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be out here working on an album." So fast forward 6 months later, Boozer comes back and everything in the house, which was brand new, is purple.
Wow.
The carpet is purple. The walls have been painted purple. Everything purple. And Boozer can't get a hold of Prince. He says, "Hey, man, you ruined my house."
Yeah.
He's texting him, calling him, so he thinks he's going to have to sue him.
Sure.
And one day Prince calls him and goes, "I am so sorry. I have a fixer that normally goes in and puts it back the way it was, and he just didn't have time to do it. I'm going to send your family on vacation. Where do you want to go?" He goes, "Well, we're leaving for Hawaii tomorrow." He goes, "I'm picking up the whole tab." And he did. Prince picked up the whole tab, and Boozer comes back a week later, and the house, it's like he was never there.
Wow.
All the original carpeting, all the original paint. All Boozer said to this day he doesn't know how he did it. But you know how there wasn't there a movie that George Clooney was a fixer?
Yes, and any Michael Clayton.
Yeah, any problem you had, he would go in and fix it. That was apparently Prince had that guy when he was alive that would go in and fix that stuff.
Yeah. By the way, Michael Clayton, one of the most underrated movies of the last 10 years. So freaking
good. I probably have to
go
back and watch it again.
Tilda Swinton, George Clooney. I mean, it is so friggin' good. Tom Wilkinson.
Yeah, Tom Wilkinson has a big role in that movie.
Big role in it. But Michael Clayton, great, great movie. All right, coming up next for you, the latest on Shohei Ohtani. Will the Angels actually trade him? Anonymous executives are talking about that. We will get to that coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So what's up, people? Last night didn't go well. Lakers, there is now a game 6. It is tomorrow night at Crypto.com Arena. Lakers, better win tomorrow night.
Better win. We're calling it a better win game.
And Anthony Davis is fine. Everybody should apologize that was bagging on him last night. He suffered a shot to the head. Was at some point in a wheelchair leaving the court, and everybody made fun of him. Like Charles and Shaq and Stephen A. Everybody just stop. And I hope Anthony Davis hears this stuff. I hope he hears it. I hope it pisses
comes out like a man possessed.
Comes out like crazy tonight, tomorrow night. All right. So there's a lot of fascination around Major League Baseball with Shohei Ohtani of the Angels. And I came across this story today, John. This speaks a lot to Artie Moreno. So the question is, will Shohei Ohtani hit the market this summer at the trade deadline?
Okay.
Here is what one executive told Buster Olney. They're not going to trade him. If they were going to deal him, the best time would have been last summer, unless they completely collapse, no shot. What some rival evaluators believe is that Angels owner Artie Moreno, who went on the record during spring training saying that Ohtani won't be dealt as long as his team is in contention, does not want to be remembered as the guy who pushed this generation's Babe Ruth out of his organization. It's hard to find anyone who believes that Ohtani will re-sign with the Angels after he hits the free agent market, but if he does leave Anaheim, Moreno will at least have an out. It would be Ohtani's choice to depart, and not because Moreno ushered him out of town.
Yeah, but what that whole thing you just read and leaves out is it's negligence on the Angels' part to let him leave without getting anything for him. If he leaves as a free agent and you get nothing for him, you just blew a chance to rebuild your whole team. I agree with Michael about this. I think you give him the Godfather offer right now and you say, Shohei, here's $600 million. More than any baseball player has ever been paid in history, to get you to stay here.
Right.
But you need to let us know before the trade deadline, because we can't let you walk away for nothing. And Shohei either says, okay, I'll take your $600 million, or I really want to go to market. And if he says he wants to go to market, you have to trade him, don't you?
Even if you're in contention. And by the way, the Angels, I think, have two less wins than the Dodgers.
Right.
The Angels are... solidly in the American League West race. I think they're 2.5 games behind Texas at this point. Would you pull the plug on Ohtani if your team is in contention?
I would, because he's too good of a player to let walk for nothing.
Not. I don't think
right. So you're the one that, I mean, you're basically setting them up to be Cleveland when LeBron left. They were terrible for 5 or 6 years until LeBron came back. That's what you're doing to the Angels if you have your position.
No, what I'm trying to do is to win a World Series.
Well, they were trying to win a championship with LeBron.
Right. I'm talking about right now, this summer, Angels, they're trying to win a World Series. If they collapse, which is, you know, one possible scenario, if they're 10 games out of first at the trade deadline, move them. If you're within striking distance or in a playoff spot, I don't think you can.
Bergman, would you ever, under any condition, let Shohei walk for nothing?
100% no way. And they're absolutely right. He should have been traded last in summer. He
but
should
that's
have been
just
traded
evidence that they're not going to.
No, I know. And it's wrong. They should do it right now. They should do it today. If they have the ability to do it, they should do it today.
So, obviously, they have the ability to do it. They can trade Shohei Ohtani if they choose to do it.
But they're choosing not to, and it's wrong.
If
he should move.
If the team is in contention, I don't think you trade Shohei Ohtani.
He's going to leave. All these people say he's going to leave.
Yeah, didn't you say it's impossible to find anybody who thinks he's going
to
re-sign?
Hard to find anyone who believes that he will re-sign.
So force his hand. Offer him so much money that he either has to take it or then... I mean, and by the way, what I'm suggesting...
By the way, I don't even think he's in offer-taking mode. He's definitely going to market, 100%.
Well, then I would trade him, because then you can get an absolute haul for him. And by the way, this happens in baseball all the time. Happened with Manny Machado. Happened with Juan Soto. Happened with Max Scherzer. Happened with Trey Turner. Happened with all sorts of guys. If we offer you a contract and you say, nah, I want to go to market, those teams more often than not trade them so they can get some assets back.
Bryce Harper.
Yeah, same thing.
Yep.
Well, Bryce Harper signed as a free agent.
Yeah, I think Bryce Harper...
He turned down a deal first.
But I don't think... Bryce Harper's never been traded, has he?
No, he wasn't traded. No. That doesn't fit there.
But
this is going to be the same thing. They got nothing for him. They got nothing for Bryce Harper.
They got nothing for Bryce Harper.
And strangely won the World Series the next year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I think from being an... If I'm an Angels fan... And I am in the race, and I've got a chance to get to the playoffs for the first time since Mike Trout was a rookie. I don't want my biggest star traded.
What if you get such a haul back that your team is still good? Like, what if you trade him for the Dodgers for Julio Urias, Will Smith?
Well, Urias is not even in the market because he's leaving at the end of the
year. Well, yeah, you would be trading each other's problems.
Right.
But... you would, but if you got Julio, Will Smith.
Will Smith's not getting traded.
Well, I mean,
he's
you're going to.
Best hitter right now.
Right. But I'm just saying, Shohei Ohtani is better than Will
right,
Smith.
Right. But there are players that the Dodgers will move. They're just, it's not going to be Will
Smith.
Are
you seriously saying you would not trade Will Smith for Shohei Ohtani?
I don't even believe he
listen
would be,
to you.
He would not even be in the conversation.
Listen to you. It's Shohei Ohtani.
He would not be. Will, first of all, I don't think
you would not. This is worse than when you said Yasiel Puig is better than Mike Trout.
No, it's not.
You are comparing Will Smith.
Right.
To Shohei Ohtani and saying, if the Angels called you and said, we'll trade you Shohei, here's the list of people we want, and they start with Will Smith, you hang up on him.
I don't believe they would ask for Will Smith.
Why wouldn't they? He's a 26-year-old catcher.
I don't believe that Will Smith is the kind of player they're looking for. I think they're looking for young players with a lot of upside, like James Altman.
Altman would be on that list for
like
sure.
Dustin May.
Yeah.
They're unlikely I think to you ask for Will Smith.
I think you have to get some proven talent in that deal. And James Altman is great.
In my mind, is proven.
But well,
I think he's going to be rookie of the year.
Well, so is Cody Bellinger. And look at him now. Will Smith has a proven 3 or 4 year track record of being a Major League Baseball player.
Longer than that.
James Altman, well, what's it in? His fifth year, maybe?
No. How old? Will Smith's been around.
He's 28 years old.
28 years
he
old?
He has been.
How many Major League seasons has he played?
Three, four. This is his fifth.
Fifth year. Okay.
All right. So, yeah, I'm glad this topic came up because I don't think you're thinking about this the right way. If you're talking about training for Shohei Ohtani,
right.
No one is untouchable. There isn't one player in the major leagues that you can say, no, I wouldn't put him in the deal. It's Shohei freaking Ohtani. Name any player. Mookie Betts, they won't ask for him because he's already signed to multi-millions. Right. But Mookie Betts for Shohei would be on the table.
Right.
That's how good Shohei is.
Yeah. Will Smith would be like one of the last guys I would consider trading. I didn't say I won't do it. I said it one of the, and I don't think the Angels would ask.
Yeah,
but I think they're much more likely to ask for Diego Cartaya, who's the.
I wouldn't. If I was the Angels, I would say I want Will Smith. I want Altman.
They're going to get guys like Diego Cartaya and Gavin Stone.
Well,
I'd Bobby
ask for
Miller
them too.
And
it's Shohei Ohtani.
Those guys.
Yeah,
somebody. What the Angels are going to be looking for.
Somebody is going to overpay if they put Ohtani in a trade.
Right. And by the way, I also wouldn't make this deal if I was the Dodgers. I wouldn't make any deal for Shohei Ohtani at the trade deadline.
You might not have to. If you continue to play well, and they are, and you let Ohtani go to market, then you can just sign
right.
him.
Right. I say keep all the good stuff. Keep Will Smith. Keep James Altman. Keep Dustin May.
Carmelo Anthony cautionary tale.
Sign him after the season.
Right.
When you don't have to give up all the good stuff.
Everybody knew.
Is that the right approach?
Absolutely. And that's why the Angels should have traded him at the last trade deadline.
Right. Because now, Greg, the clock's working against him.
Yep.
But, I mean, when I say Carmelo Anthony cautionary tale, do you remember when Carmelo said, he went to the Nuggets and he said, guys, I'm just letting you know, I'm not re-signing.
Right.
I want to go to the Knicks. You guys can either trade me there or I'll just play out my contract here and I'll go. And the Nuggets went, well, let's get something for him. So they traded him to the Knicks. The problem was the Knicks emptied their roster.
Right. And so there was nothing
and
left.
And so that's
to play
what you're saying you want to avoid if you're the Dodgers.
Right.
You don't have to give him Altman. You don't have to give him Will Smith. You don't have to give him anybody.
Just sign him. You've saved all this salary cap space for the offseason. You're ready to pay him $600
million. You didn't re-sign Trey Turner. You didn't re-sign Cody Bellinger. You're saving all this money. That's the way to go.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. I'm not sure whose game it is
it's
today.
Bergman's game. Did you remember to write a game today, Bergman?
I did remember to write a
Excellent.
Game.
Big of you.
Who's going to play?
Andy Kamenetsky.
Andy Kamenetsky, who is filling in for...
George Shidano.
George Shidano.
But he always makes the game, so this time we wanted to let him play the
Excellent.
Game.
Excellent. So Andy gets to play next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is Game of Games time, and Andy Kamenetsky slides in here, filling in for Shidano today on Shidano and Cap. And Andy, when was the last time you actually got to play a game here?
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I keep getting the games dumped in my lap at the last minute when I'm sitting in for John.
Roars!
As far as creating the games.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I'll talk to my jingler.
I'll talk to my jingler, says Andy Kamenetsky. All right. It is Bergman's game today. Bergman, what do you got going?
And by the way, you do a very good job with the games, Andy.
Yeah, no,
thank
very,
you.
Very good guy.
Thank you.
It's just a really easy, real or fake, random facts. just tell me if they're real or I made them up.
Real or made them up. Okay.
Completely potpourri, uber facts type game.
Okay.
All right. So number one, Jay-Z is now the wealthiest musical artist in the world, passing Diddy with a net worth of over $2.5 billion. Mace?
I will say true.
John?
True.
Jorge?
Yeah, true.
Andy?
True.
You're all right. He is the most with $2.5 billion. All right, number two.
$2.5 billion.
And that's not even counting.
And he's married to Beyonce.
Yeah. Right.
Winning.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll talk to my jingler.
I'm not going to be able to get through the game with that. All right, so Uranus, however you pronounce it, was discovered before the continent of Antarctica. John.
False.
Jorge.
That is true.
Andy.
True.
And Mace.
I also think it's true.
It is true. John is the only one to get that one wrong.
So they discovered the planet before they discovered Antarctica.
Antarctica, correct. Okay. It was in the 1700s for Uranus and 1800s for Antarctica.
Okay.
Number three, Jorge, we'll start with you. Some snails can sleep up to 3 years at a time.
That's false.
Okay, Andy?
False.
John?
False.
Mace?
I am going to go true.
It is true, Mace.
Really?
The only one to get that one right. Yes, 3 years at a time for those crazy snails. Yeah. Number four, Andy, to start with you. NFL water boys are very well paid. They can make up to $53,000 a year.
Okay, the pattern now is they're all true because I'm wondering if
that's what Greg, I'm also.
Well, I'm wondering if Greg was not in the mood to like
work,
imagine and make up things.
Up. Chat GBT on us,
but I'm still going to say false.
Okay, John,
$53,000 a year.
Yep,
I'll say it's true.
Okay, Mace.
I am also going to go true.
Jorge.
True.
It is true. They can.
Okay, now I figured out the pattern.
Oh, the pattern is they're all true.
Okay.
By the way, that's $53,000 for half a year.
Right.
Not even.
That.
Not
like
even.
A third
17
of a year.
Weeks.
That's a good gig.
That's a good, very
that is
good
a great
gig.
Side hustle.
Got to keep them hydrated.
Plus, you get to be at a football game.
Yeah. Eight. It's only 16.
Okay, so that's five in a row, five true.
No, it's four. No,
four in a row.
It's Mason four, Jorge three, Andy and John two.
Okay, number five. We'll go back to Mace here. 1 trillion seconds is the same as 123,456 years.
That's true.
Jorge.
False.
Andy.
False.
John.
You are due for a false. I'll go false.
It is false. It's actually 31,456.
All right, Jorge has caught Mason, and Andy and I are now only one back.
Okay.
How many are left?
There's 10 total, so five more.
Okay.
Okay.
Most humans are lactose intolerant. In fact, only 4% of people possess the lactose enzyme needed to digest milk. Go Jorge.
That is true.
Andy.
True.
John.
True.
Mace.
True.
It is false.
Ah, son of a...
30% of people possess that gene.
You're going to regret this.
Number seven. I think I start with Andy. It doesn't matter.
You should start with Mason or Jorge. You only have four left.
Yeah, so Jorge is leading, so I'll start with Jorge.
Okay.
Dasani.
No, Jorge and Mason both have four, right?
No, John. You're right. They both have four.
Yeah.
Four, okay. Four, three, three.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Jorge. Dasani water is nothing more than purified tap water.
I'll say true.
Okay, Mace.
True.
Andy.
True.
John.
True.
It is true.
It's like some guy with a garden hose in his backyard filling up Dasani bottles.
It's the guy who owns Coca-Cola. Yeah.
All right, number eight.
It
Mace
is
will
the guy
start
that owns Coca-Cola, yeah.
Mace, we'll start with you on this one.
Yep.
English is not the official language of the United States.
I'm gonna say that's false.
Jorge.
Oh, I'll go true.
Andy.
True.
And it's true. It's true.
It is true.
Yeah.
West Wing.
There is no official language.
Matter of fact, when they really wanted to mess with the Democrats, the Republicans on the West Wing would come in and say, English as the national language is our leadoff hitter. It was your old neighbor, Paul Provenza, who did that. All right, so now
Jorge
has six. Everyone else has five.
And there's two left. So Jorge, you got to go last.
Go
first. The last ones. All right. The average human hasn't made a new friend in 5 years. Jorge?
I'll go false.
Andy.
Pandemic probably sped that up. I'm going to say true.
John?
What did Jorge say?
He said false.
I'll go true.
And Mace?
I'm going to go true.
It is true, and you all are tied all the way up and down.
Woo!
All
right.
Do you have a tiebreaker?
I have a tiebreaker, yes.
Okay. It is 6-6. Some would say devilish.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, number 10, the last one, and we're going to start with John here. Sex and food activate the same part of the brain.
True.
Mace.
True.
Jorge.
False.
Andy.
True.
It is true. Jorge.
Jorge's out!
You're
in. You had it. You're out.
You guys got something to write with? Write it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Write it down.
Okay.
Harrison Ford has made $10,000 for the original Star Wars movie, A New Hope. How much was he paid for The Force Awakens? Closest without going over.
All right. Point of clarification. Is The Force Awakens the most recent Star Wars movie?
Seven.
It's within the last five years?
Seven of nine.
And is this straight salary or like back end points?
My God.
Is
he making money on the back end?
Is it just.
How much did he make for filming the movie?
No, it's. You're right. It's what they paid him to show up.
He made $10,000 for the original one. How much did he make for this one?
Okay.
And we don't know if there are back end points.
No, so we're just going with whatever they paid him up front.
We have the whole thing. Mace, do you have something written down?
You're going to regret this.
Yes.
What do you got?
$18 million.
All right, John.
$3.2 million.
And Andy.
He's guessing we all go over. I'm saying $31 million.
$31 million. The correct answer, $20 million.
Mace, come back.
From behind.
Is he in it a lot?
Huh? Yeah, he's in almost the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I just started watching Shrinking.
It's a great show.
Yeah, very good.
Everybody likes it.
And Harrison Ford's great in it. Did you ever see the Harrison Ford movie Morning Glory, where he plays with Rachel McAdams? He plays this crusty old anchor man.
Yeah.
He's kind of redoing that role. He's just a crusty old psychiatrist.
I'm sure he's flying a plane and landing it on Sentinella even as we speak.
While really high.
Yeah, while really high. Yeah, that's the word on Harrison.
Is he still married to Calista Flockhart?
Yes.
I think he is.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a great episode in Shrinking where he gets really high. So that was a really good one.
So they just filmed him at home?
Yeah, it's just like a home movie.
Did they? Serious question. They had to pull his pilot's license, right?
I don't know.
Didn't he have two separate airplane instances where?
Right. I know he landed on
The 10 freeway or something.
Well, he landed on Sentinella one time, and then he landed. What's the golf course over there by Santa Monica Airport? You wouldn't play it because it's not classy.
Right. It's like a Muni.
Yeah, it is.
Woodley? Yeah. Is it one of those?
No, Woodley's in the valley.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's one of those.
Get off.
It's a nice course.
My plane.
Exactly.
Have you guys, by the way, with Harrison Ford, this is really funny. You can find it on YouTube.
I'll talk to my jingler.
David Blaine one time went to his house to do
the magic trick.
Yeah, with the orange.
This is
what's
amazing.
The trick?
David Blaine is crazy.
He has Harrison Ford pick a card, and the card ends up inside an orange in a fruit bowl in his house, and it ends up like perfectly split, so Harrison Ford can open up this orange, and he sees this rolled up card, and you can see like his face is growing like ashen and white, and then he looks at David Blaine and goes, "Get the F out of my house." He's just shook by this.
Yeah, David Blaine does some crazy stuff.
Have you guys ever seen, you can Google this on YouTube, but have you guys ever seen the video of David Blaine with LeBron and AD?
No.
It is, he runs into him on the street. And it is great. It is like they walk away. They're so confused, they can't believe it. It's like, so here it is. He's at the locker room.
Right.
I'll make it bigger.
Yeah.
So he's at the locker room just doing card tricks.
Yep.
To AD.
Yep.
And the Lakers are so, like, they're, so AD shows the card to LeBron, shows it to JaVale McGee.
Yep.
And then David Blaine like makes the thing disappear out of nowhere. And it's like, matter of fact, I'll watch it. It's pretty long, but I'll see if it's good for the radio. If it is,
okay.
We can play it.
Was this a genius talk thing?
Yeah. Yeah, they brought him in for a genius talk. and they had LeBron and AD go around the corner, and then the card magically appeared somewhere on their body.
Yeah, I don't know how he does that stuff.
Yeah.
I have one good mentalist trick that I learned from Jorge, which I use at, you know what? I used it last Saturday at party. I absolutely did. It's such a good trick. Good. Yeah. It always works. All right, let's do some super crosstalk.
I'll talk to my jingler.
There he is. By the way, Game of Games is powered by Call Jacob Winning Matters. That's why after an accident, you go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. So Shinano and Cappy today is Andy Kamenetsky and Cappy. Cappy, what's going on, man?
Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
I didn't know if that was going to work.
You have to say it the way we say it.
I know, but when I said good afternoon, I said it with sincerity. I didn't say it like the way you guys always say it, like as the bit. And then I realized halfway through good that I was saying good afternoon. So I tried to like pick it up in the afternoon part, but I didn't really do it.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Well, I never.
You got to go good afternoon.
Right, right, right. I didn't do that. I was like,
what a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
So, Cap, are you coming up for the better win game 6 tomorrow night?
So there's been a little bit of controversy here, and it's all Greg Bergman's fault.
Okay.
By the way, I'm also wrapped up in this controversy, so go ahead.
Yeah.
My fault.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it is.
Right, explain, Cappy.
Explain.
So I think it was yesterday that I sent Bergie a text, and I was like, hey, so just want to make sure that I'm able to get credentials on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Bergie wrote me back and said, well, I'm not even going to request credentials until after this game tonight.
Amen.
And I didn't think about that, like, oh, okay, because, of course, they could wrap it up tonight.
You kind of put a hex on them.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I kind of just assumed, like everybody else, that they were going to lose last night.
Mm.
And so Bergie did not request the credential for me in advance, and now that the game is coming back, I'm thinking, and you guys tell me what you think I should do.
Right.
Should I come for the game, or should I revoke my credential in an effort to like, you know, switch the energy.
I don't think one can revoke their own credentials. Somebody else.
Don't you have a ridiculous, don't the Lakers have a ridiculous record, a good record when you're in attendance?
It's pretty good this year. Pretty good. I think it's I think it might be like 12-4. Something pretty solid.
You're the type of guy we're looking for. I think you should come up.
It sounds like you don't want to make the drive is what it sounds like.
Well, I mean, it's not that I don't want to make the drive.
For $200 bucks, I can pick you.
Not that I don't want to make the drive. I kind of would like to bring my better half. You feel me on that?
Well, yeah, but you know, can you get her a credential?
Well, that's just it.
Rachel?
I am out of credentials. So I have you have a credential right now, Cappy.
Can't you get on a credential when we go to pick it up? She goes up to the gate and she goes, "Hi, I'm Rachel." And then they go to the R section.
Yeah, that's not how it works. Unfortunately,
that's not the way it works.
That should be on the credential though. Just Rachel.
Right.
No last name, no media affiliation.
Well, everybody knows Rachel.
Exactly.
Right. You don't even show an ID.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, the Laker people, when they would do credentials, if you didn't have an affiliation, they would just write down FOB. You know what that stands for, Andy?
Free agent.
Friend of...
Broadcast?
Broadcast?
Bus.
Friend of bus.
Yeah. Bus.
So if you saw FOB, you knew that's where they were.
You know, Cappy, I decided not to go because I don't... here's the thing. It's a critical game. I think it is must win for the Lakers. I think it's better. I think we're describing it as better win. And I want to be locked in and able to watch this game, and I don't find – there are no seats, so I find that
There's no seats in the suite?
No. Well, there are seats in the suite, but they're taken by, like, partners and teammates and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So there's no seat in the in crypto for me, so I'm going to stay home and watch it.
I don't blame you. Listen, on the game – what's today? Today's Thursday, so on Tuesday's game?
Yep.
I was in some guy's suite, you know? And
That would have been
good.
Monday.
Oh, Monday?
Yeah.
Monday. So so I'm in this suite, and the food was good. Food was really good, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I ate, but it was crowded, and I couldn't really get a seat, and I couldn't watch the game. So at halftime, I was like, hey, thanks for that really nice Caesar salad. And they've got these pizza cupcakes they've got in these suites.
They're called pizza cupcakes?
Mace, they're unbelievable.
And pizza they taste cupcakes. Like pizza?
Yeah, they're like a. It looks like a little cupcake, But it's just a pizza. So there's like sauce and cheese and pepper.
Oh, okay. That's a good concept.
Basically, if I'm guessing, Cappy, and tell me if I'm wrong, you're taking the dough, and rather than stretching it out, you're baking it inside a cupcake holder, and then you top the dough with pizza items.
Mm. Right. You take your finger, right, and you stick Emerald. It in there, right?
We established I have a pizza maker.
Bam!
Bam!
Yeah, you take the thing, you take the little crust, you put it in the cupcake thing, you take your finger, you stick it in there, right?
No, it's good. I think it's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, a little sauce, a little cheese, a little pepperoni, and then you bake it. It's a pizza cupcake. But at the end of the first half, Mace, I told this pizza cupcake guy, I go, hey.
So anyway, I tell the pizza cupcake guy.
I say, hey, it's a nice pizza cupcake, and I am very grateful for the three that I just ate. However, for second half, I got to go to where I can see the game.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
That's why.
The other suite?
I went to the 710 suite.
The 710 suite, which is the best place in the arena to watch a game.
Andy and Cap, do you guys think, stay with me here, Jorge, do you guys think you could win a joke-off with Siri?
A joke-off? How does that work? I don't even know how that works.
Listen to this.
Hey, Siri, you down for a roast battle?
You're gonna regret this.
Your mama's so fat, she fell off both sides of the bed.
Your mama's so stupid, she thought Dunkin' Donuts was a basketball team.
Your mama's so ugly, my screen cracked when I took her photo.
Your mama's so ugly, they won't give her a vaccine so she can keep wearing her mask.
Your mama's so old, her memory's in black and white.
The earth used to be flat, till they buried your mama.
Wow.
I think
Siri's
a lot better than I thought, huh?
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I am bowing out. I'm not even trying.
I cannot even get my Siri to get into any sort of argument.
I think the guy set it up. Oh. I think the guy did it in a way that, I mean, I think he put some work into it. Try it, Mace.
That wasn't real?
What was the original line? Hey, Siri.
What? Play it again.
Your mama's so ugly that she broke my camera screen.
Hey, Siri, you down for a roast battle?
Okay. You're gonna regret it. Hey, Siri. Are you down for a roast battle? No.
Mine doesn't work.
You're going to regret this.
Yeah, you're going to regret this. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that, by the way, if that was ChatGPT, we're all dead. If that was ChatGPT as Siri, we're all
home. Well, I heard a lot of the articles we read now are ChatGPT.
Well, a lot of newspapers are firing reporters and just replacing them with
ChatGPT. Yeah.
This is the direction we're moving in. Everything becomes AI, ChatGPT, deepfakes. Everything can be manufactured. In 5 to 10 years, if that long, we are going to have no idea if anything we see, read, hear about on the news, whatever, is actually real.
Okay, so Joe Rogan did an entire podcast with AI. In other words, so he comes on, he goes, hi, this is Joe Rogan, but it's not really me.
Yeah.
See if you can find this, Jorge, and we can play the beginning of it.
Yeah, actually.
He comes on, he goes, everything you're hearing is computer generated, and we're going to do the entire hour of this podcast with computer generated AI. You're going to think you're listening to me, and it's going to sound like you're listening to me, but it's not me.
Yeah.
And you listen to it, and it's like, exactly what Andy said. It's like, this is where the world is going.
Yeah.
Mace, and you and I have so many recorded hours of podcasts.
I know.
Somebody could literally just reverse every position we've ever had and issue it.
We have literally said everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's somewhere along the line, chances are we said it.
Many years ago, when we were doing Crossfire, where Mason and I would pick a topic and just argue with each other, and the first guy who could get 10 votes would win the argument, we decided just as a bit to switch positions at halftime. So like half an hour into it, I started arguing Mason's side and he started arguing my side. And we were shocked how long it took people to figure it out. They had already made up their minds, so they were calling and they said, I agree with Mason. I go, no, now you're agreeing with me.
Now, if you don't care about consistency at all, you can basically argue anything. Like, I remember years ago, there used to be a show, they just called themselves the Regular Guys.
Okay.
They were on probably, I think, like 97.1 back.
All right.
Did talk. And they used to have these debates, and they had this sidekick on the show. He's like a producer / gopher. His name was Malibu Dan.
Oh, I thought his name was Bergman.
No, it was not Bergman.
Okay, so here's, Jorge found, go ahead, finish your story.
I was going to say, and they would, they would make him, because he was terrible at coming up with original thoughts, they would make him take one side of the debate, and they would always take the other. Didn't matter what. Like, his side would be murder should be illegal. They would have to debate murder should be legal.
Oh, okay.
And they would show that if you just commit to whatever and don't care commit about what you're actually position. Saying, you can really debate anything you win.
To talking about what you said earlier, Andy, that where we're moving to in the future is we're not going to know what's real and what isn't. Mason and I always give Bergman a hard time that he never gets us any guess. But we literally, through AI, could get any guest we want.
Yeah, that's
true. Example, here is Joe Rogan interviewing Steve Jobs, who is dead.
Wow.
But Rogan, through AI, just came on and did this.
Memory from the past. So without further ado, my friend who is difficult to describe and wonderful, and I'm so grateful he came on the show.
How's it going? Good to see you, buddy. It's been a long time since I've been on the show. I've missed this. It's always fun.
How's it going? Come on, tell me about Jobs. It's always good to see you, buddy. I'm so happy you came on, man.
Yeah, it's great to be on the show. Your audience is just so different from your normal Apple users, and that's a good thing. It's cool.
Well, all right, so you can tell it's a little
right there yet.
I have a question, though. How does Rogan use the ChatGPT to get his voice like that?
Well, there's a digital...
I don't know if it's ChatGPT, by the way, Cap, but he's using AI, and there's different forms of it.
Yeah, we're not there yet, but in five... Because right now, you can tell that is not
people talking.
Like,
I heard Drew Carey did an hour on his podcast. I picked up on this, and you can tell... you can hear stumbles and pieces that don't fit together, but we're not very far away.
Well, in particular with podcasts and radio and audio, it's easier to fool the audience than it would be with video.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but you're right, Andy. It's coming.
Yeah.
You're going to regret this.
Yeah, there you go, Sheree. Exactly right. So last night...
By the way, you say Siri like the old character on 30 Rock. Why don't you just say Siri?
My personal assistant is Siri.
You know, that's the only time I've ever heard that name was that blonde girl, a blonde assistant to Tina Fey on 30 Rock was Siri.
Oh, Siri. No, I don't have Siri. I've got an up-level version of the phone with Siri,
and
by
the way,
a classy assistant.
I will say this now with the writer's strike going on in Hollywood. If you want to go back and watch something and catch a whole bunch of stuff you didn't catch the first time, 30 Rock on Hulu, I've watched like 10 episodes maybe in the last 2 months. And every time, I know I'd seen the episode before, but I catch five or six jokes I didn't get the first time.
It's true.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question, though. You think people are, like, turned off by all this ChatGPT / AI? Or you think people are turned on, especially, by the way, in media? I'm just curious. Like, are people in media like, this is going to ruin all of our jobs. We're all going to be without jobs in the next 5 years. Do you think people are feeling that way?
No. I think they probably should be. but no, I don't think. I think, first of all, AI is super complicated. It's working on our behalf in so many different ways, from Amazon to
just algorithms.
Yeah,
that
algorithms
track us every day.
Yeah, they know where we are at all times. So, do I think this is going to ever completely replace human beings? No, but do I think it could replace some jobs? Like I heard. A website that I sometimes use is BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed shut
down. Is it going away? I was going to say. I thought I just read that.
Now it's only AI generated. So,
but they still produce content every day?
They're still producing content, but it's through AI. There are no actual living, breathing writers that are involved.
Wow.
Could you cover a sports team that way? Could you, instead of a beat writer, could you have just ChatGPT cover a whole season?
I think it depends on what you want from your coverage. Like if you're just getting the basic nuts and bolts of a season, sure. If you're trying to actually get inside the dynamic of a team, what player personalities are like, stuff like that, I don't think you actually could unless the ChatGPT is just spitting up other coverage.
But just the details. Like hey guys, when I would have my son's Little League games,
yes,
they would have these apps that you would like score the game. And then after the game, it would give you a report on the game. So in the third inning, little Stevie Mason had a double,
yep,
and little Johnny I scored from second base. And like, yeah, that would generate the story of the game.
It would have been a triple, but Mason's slow because he has 9 pins and a plate in his foot. So he had to only make it
slow
to second.
This was actually before he got into that terrible,
yes,
accident.
Yes, little Stevie Mason.
Right.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, the technology is going to be, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, I think, to Cappy's actual question, yeah. I think most people don't even know. I think most people have no idea how invasive this stuff has already become.
Yeah, or where it's happening in our lives that we don't even know about.
Look, I barely understand this technology. I guarantee a lot of people understand it less than me. Certainly older people don't understand it at all.
No, not at all.
And a lot of younger people, I think, are so used to it, they don't even recognize when it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the GPT Locked On Lakers podcast today.
Oh, it's probably just as good.
And it is very comparable to what you and Brian do every day.
Does ChatGPT Brian interrupt me all the time?
Yes, he does.
Nice. They nailed it. Yeah. They nailed the formula.
He's very ball dominant on the on the Locked On Lakers podcast. It's like Clinton Yates on the Blue Review. He's very ball dominant.
Hey, what's up with Clinton Yates? Am I hearing a story that Clinton doesn't want to use his social media to help promote the,
that is correct.
The podcast?
The big CY.
Yeah, you got to talk to him, Cap. You're the king of side hustles. You got to get on
deal?
That. What? I don't know. We'll have to ask him next time he's in.
How many followers does Clinton have on Twitter?
Enough.
I mean, we're talking like 100,000, 200, 500, a million?
Probably, I would think.
Bergie, do you know?
I'm not sure.
Because you would think there's a normal thing. Like, you do a pod. Like, for example, did a podcast with Robert Wisdom last week. Great actor from Barry and from The Wire. Mm-hmm. Well, we sent out a little social media. Andy was actually the co-host on that one.
Yeah,
he amplified it. He retweeted it.
Right.
He, you know, he did. And you would expect
right,
that
you put it into the ether.
You would think that the big CY, as part of the Blue Review, would amplify it using his social media channels.
Maybe he's and embarrassed then, to be working with Bergman. Well,
I think that's it. A thing. I think
no,
that is.
Is
a thing.
It is because if he was proud of it, he would obviously be wanting to tell his followers. He'd be like, hey, kiddos. You know, come check us out.
Hey, kiddos.
Right. Yep. Hey, King. Yeah. That makes sense.
He calls his people kiddos.
He said he was going to start doing it for ones that were a little more evergreen. He didn't want to do every single one of them. But then we did an evergreen one yesterday, and he didn't do it.
I mean, if it's a daily show, by definition, they're all evergreen for a short window. Like,
right.
You got to strike while the iron's hot for an evergreen show.
Right. I mean, we talked about, you know, the Mookie Betts at the Pfister Hotel kind of thing. So that's more of an evergreen that can
I hadn't
play
heard that story.
Time.
How's that story going?
Not the same story.
So wait, so how many followers on Twitter, though? Like, that, what sort of amplification are we missing here?
Well, I just want him to just put out, like, hey, he has a much bigger following than I do. I don't know how many people followers he has.
But I'm with John Ireland. I mean, is he embarrassed by this?
I mean, you'd be embarrassed by me too, right?
No, sir. Absolutely
48,200 followers. That's
oh my God,
five times more than me.
Followers. That's a lot
Whoa.
Of followers.
That's five times more than me.
Yeah, it is.
So when I retweet it, is different than when he retweets it.
Did you hear the way we call Clinton Yates now? It's like Batman. It's the big CY in the sky. It's like that.
We just send out a bat signal.
You see the CY sign, and you know CY will show up.
Right. Right, like a superhero.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you guys got? I mean, obviously last night, disappointing. AD, the forearm to the head from Looney, and then the leaving the court, and then the Barkley and the Shaq of it all, and then the Stephen A and all that stuff, and he's playing tomorrow night.
Yes.
You'll get into all of it?
Yes.
All right. Are you getting into all the stuff I just said?
Yes.
Sedano and Cap next, but no Sedano. Andy Kamenetsky filling in.
And we're back tomorrow at 1, getting ready for Game 6. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.